Let's bow our heads for another word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we open up the pages of thy holy word, we ask that your Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, as our Sabbath school lesson was teaching us this morning. Help us to understand, dear Lord, and may your Spirit rest upon each one of us here today and guide us as we study, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, there's only one way to get into the kingdom of heaven, and that is to be born into it. In John 3, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, who was embarrassed to have him come to see Jesus. He was afraid they would get the idea that he was becoming interested in a new religion. So he came around in the dark to talk to Jesus by night. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3, verse 3. And then the 16th verse, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friends, every individual that enters the kingdom of heaven must be born again. There is no other way to enter. The proposition is put to us in Jeremiah 13:23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can he change from a brown skin to a white skin? Or the leopard his spots? Can he adjust them? Put one spot over here and another over there? Obviously, the answer is no. And then the Lord concludes, Then may you also do good who are accustomed to doing evil. Friends, it is impossible for a bad person to do good. It is impossible for a wicked person to do right. Impossible as far as our own power is concerned. But the Lord who put the spots on the leopards could change them if he liked. And the Lord who gave this man skin can change a person's heart if the man allows. The Lord can do the impossible, and he has given the promise that he will do that very thing if we cooperate. Yes. And so a person must be born again if he expects to be saved. Yes. Now, there's only one way that you can be president of the United States of America, and that is you must be born in America. You cannot import a man and make him president. In like manner, an individual must be born into the kingdom of heaven, or else he will never walk those streets of gold. And that's the reason King David, when seeing the hopelessness of the whole thing, cried out in desperation, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 51:10. If any person be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. He is not the same person anymore, as we can attest to that. Some of you who have given your heart to the Lord and have come to Him, there's a real change that you can see. You're not the same person anymore. You have absolutely a new character through and through. You see, friends, God is preparing a people to inhabit that world of glory. And He will take no chances with those that He takes into the kingdom of heaven. They must be a pure and a clean people. Individuals that have passed the blood test of sin and have been purified of all unrighteousness. Friends, it would be a risky thing for God to take certain people into the kingdom of heaven. There are some people, if they took them into the heaven the way they are, they'd start chopping up the streets of gold to go off and have a good time. There are others, if he took them into the kingdom of heaven, would be miserable. They'd be going around the angel choir saying, Can't you bring us a few rock songs? I'm tired of all these hymns. Others will be sneaking around looking for a movie theater. The Lord has to be careful what kind of people he takes into the kingdom of heaven. So he insists, you must be born again. You must be born again. Friends, one thing important to remember is that this is all God's work. The making of a new person is God's work. I've had people say, Pastor Fry, I wish you would change my son. I wish you would talk to him. I wish you could change him. Why, I couldn't change a soul. No person in this wide world can change a soul, brothers and sisters. The change must come from within. And that change is wrought by God through His Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a fearful thing for a person to take credit and say, I converted somebody. No person can convert a soul. No one. That's the work of God. That's God's work through and through. Amen. Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, Nicodemus, there's one thing you're going to have to learn. You will have to become like a little child. You will have to start all over again. You must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus used an illustration of the mighty, powerful, and amazing way that God works. He gave an illustration of the wind. Now, I guess South Carolina has about as strong a wind as any place once in a while. Now, I've never seen one of those hurricane winds like the ones that came through here recently. I think it is possible, though, to see the trees blowing in the wind or see the clouds hurrying through the sky on their way and the dust and all the debris flying in the air. But I personally have never seen the wind. I've seen its activity and its actions and the results of the wind. Though I cannot see it, I still believe that the wind exists. Friends, you cannot see the Holy Spirit. But I will tell you one thing. You can surely see the way He changes lives, the way He changes people's hearts and their lives. And that is the greatest proof of the existence of God and His Spirit. It is a wonderful, wonderful work of recreation. Back in the Garden of Eden, God fashioned Adam out of the dust of the ground. Now, I would certainly like to have been there watching that Friday afternoon as Jesus finished the lifeless clay into the form of the first man. Had you been watching that amazing act, you would have noticed one thing. And I am sure, and that is, that being that was being created looked just like His Creator. For the Bible says that God made man in His own likeness. Adam and Jesus looked very, very much alike. Sad to say, we don't fit that description too much anymore. It is possible to see it in character, but not any outward appearance. And then the Creator bent over and He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life. And man did what? He became a living soul. Genesis 2:7. But you know, it is harder for a man, for God to remake a man than it is for Him to make him in the first place. In the beginning, God fashioned Adam of the clay. And He did a wonderful job in a short time. But what was the secret here? The secret was that the clay did not resist. When He put a lump of clay there and He said, I want that to be an ear, it did not jump around and say, I want to be on the top of the head. Where He put it, it stayed. I think He put it in a good place too. Where He told it to be, there it was. And friends, if God comes along to you and says, this is what I want you to do, and you do not resist, but do just what He asks you to do, He will fashion you into His image and into His likeness. We must be born again. We must be born again, or we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, my friends, why do we resist? Why do we resist when God indicates His will in our lives? Why do we keep saying, yes, but? The Lord of heaven is trying to reshape our lives. In each one of our lives, He's trying to mold us and fashion us. And we resist so much. He's trying to purify our bodies. He's trying to make us one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give Him a chance, and He'll do a wonderful job of remaking us. It's wonderful what Jesus will do, isn't it? When a person is born again, it changes every part of the individual. It is the same with a person spiritually. Now, I promised you I was going to give you 9 ways to tell if you are saved or lost. So here we go. Number 1. In Ezekiel 11:19, we read, "And I will give them a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." Now, isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing? I've heard people say, "That person is just naturally bad. There's nothing good in that fellow." However, take a man like that to the Lord, and God says, "He does have a bad heart. He does. There's no doubt about that." But God does not give him up and throw him out there in the scrap heap. The Lord of heaven stoops low and he performs a surgical operation. He cuts out that old stony heart, that old heart of callous sin, and he says, "I will put in a new heart, a heart of flesh." And he can do it, brothers and sisters. It is just that great of a miracle. Just like making Adam back there in the first place. God does not say, "I'll give you a new skin." There are many people greatly concerned about the skin. They powder it, they paint it, they shrink it, and they even put mud on it. And they put remover on it. Friends, we are all concerned about the exterior. We do all kinds of things trying to fix up the outside. But God says, "Never mind the skin. I can change the skin in a moment. I want the heart to be changed. That's what really counts." God does not care one bit about this veneered exterior. That's a trouble. There are too many Christians that have a thin veneer. Their Christianity is just skin deep. God wants us to be real all the way through. Amen. And he says, "When I change a person, I don't change his skin. I don't care what color his skin is. I am interested in his heart. I'll give you a new heart." A person that's born again will have a new nature. That's a wonderful thing. But how can God change that old life, that old life of sin? Well, in Romans 8, verse 7, we're told, "The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." That means that carnal nature, that old man of sin, is at war with God's law. Man in his old sinful nature hates the law of God. Sinful, carnal, and at war with God. The Lord just has to make a new man out of him. And the Lord has to give him completely a new nature. For he naturally rebels against God. Now, if you want to realize just what a struggle that is, read the 7th chapter of Romans. There's a picture of Paul, the preacher, and the struggle he had with himself. Do you know who Paul had the greatest trouble with? Not with Nero. Not even with the Jews. He had the most trouble with Paul. You're right. With Paul. He said, "It's a fight every day." He said, "Every day I fight with myself. I die daily." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. Friends, it is self that we have a controversy with. Self must die. The old habit patterns are always there, right there in our brain, always trying to bring out, always trying to come out again. Friends, it is self we have that controversy with. But God can bring them into subjection, those old habit patterns. And so the Apostle Paul says, "I strive and I battle in order to bring myself into subjection." I am in a constant struggle. It is a struggle. My mind wants to do right, but my body wants to do wrong. My spirit desires to do right, but my body wants to do the old things. My old habit patterns and the inclinations of the flesh are to sin. And back and forth, this struggle goes in this awful controversy between right and wrong. And finally, he cries out in his agony, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Back in those rather savage times, they had a hideous way of punishing a wicked criminal. Some were condemned to die by being tied to a dead body, a corpse. Now just imagine, if you will, can anything be worse than being tied to a dead body, a corpse, and having to lug it around until it literally rots away or until you die? Paul speaks of himself as being tied to that dead body of sin, his carnal nature. But Paul doesn't quit there. You don't find him going down with a wail of despair. Instead, he cries out triumphantly and he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord." Friends, I'm thankful there is a better way. Aren't you? Number two, a person that's born again has a new victory. 1 John 5:4 reads, "For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." A person that's born again is standing on the victory side. Now do not forget, there may be periods of temporary defeat. That's a mistake we often make. Some people think that when a person starts on the Christian walk, they'll never stumble anymore. That from then on, they'll live a sinless and a perfect life. Well, John clears that up in 1 John 1:8, where he says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." There's that word truth again. John was a prophet of love, but he surely used some strong language. He says, "It is impossible for any person to say they are perfect." In all my nearly 50 years in this church, I have only run across two people who have ever said they were perfect. Most people recognize that we're far from perfect. Now, there may be temporary defeats. There may be some battles that you may lose. And I know we've lost many battles. But, oh, friends, see to it that you don't lose the war. There are a good many people that seem to lose here and there. But if they do not give up, and if they hold on to Jesus Christ and don't let loose, they will come out triumphant at last. That's a wonderful thing about this Christian warfare, isn't it? That's the reason John says in 1 John 2:1, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So a person that is born again should be on the victory side. He may lose now and then, but he should generally be on the winning team, on the winning side. It's a great surprise to many people if the preacher tells them straight out, "If you take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, you may have a harder time than you've been having." What? "Well, Pastor Fry, I thought if I took my stand for the Lord Jesus, it would clear up all my troubles. I would never have any more trials or any more problems. Everything would go smoothly from now on." But friends, when we take our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, that is when the battle really starts. From then on, we become the direct target of the enemy. Well, we're only half converted, half in the world, and halfway serving the Lord. The devil doesn't care about that. He's got you anyhow. You're already in his camp. But let us once decide we're going to go all out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the devil will go right after us and aim his targets straight for us. I tell you these things, brothers and sisters, as Paul says, to warn you. We may as well know it, and we may as well face it. It is a struggle. But the wonderful part of it is, when a person steps out fully and completely on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven just sweeps down to stand by that person and to help him every step of the way. Angels that excel in strength stand ready for emergency action. God has never, ever forsaken a person that really and truly has taken a stand to go all the way with him. Number three, a person that's born again is on a new road. Jesus says, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and sad to say, few there be that find it." Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Now, may I ask you a question? Does Broadway go up or down? Down. Can you travel the Broadway to heaven? No, friends. Jesus says, broad is the way and it goes down. It leads to utter destruction. But narrow and difficult is the way to eternal life. And few there be that find it. So sad. So sad. Few there be that find it. That breaks the heart of a pastor. Can you coast uphill? Never. You have to struggle to get uphill. And yet it's a strange thing that so many of our church members are expecting to coast into heaven. It'll never happen, brothers and sisters. Never. And incidentally, sometimes you see pastors and whole churches on the Broadway who are catering to the natural cravings of their members and compromising the great truths and the principles found in the Word of God. When a person is born again, he gets off the Broadway and he leaves a majority. Did you know that some people actually reject the truth just because they say most people don't believe that way? I don't think it should be so important. Friends, there never has been a time in history when most people really cared about doing the right thing. Most people care little for God, nor put Him first in their lives, and they're not primarily concerned with heaven, but are mostly concerned with living for the things of this old world, the things that are passing away. The quickest way to empty a building is to start preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. A person that's born again is on a new road, a high road to heaven, the thorny road, the difficult road, the stony road. But I'll tell you, dear friends, you'll not lose your way on that road because Jesus has been there before you and He marked it out with a trail of red, His own blood. It's a climb up Calvary and it's a climb up Mount Zion, but there and there alone, you will find peace, joy, and happiness. Remember, the wise man warns those who are on the wrong road. He said, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Proverbs 16, verse 25. Number four, a person that's born again has a new name. That's what it says in Revelation 3, verse 12. "I'll give them a new name." Now, it's a wonderful thing when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He changes your name. I can go to dark Borneo and say, "Brother so-and-so." I can go to India and shake hands with "Brother so-and-so." We are all one in Christ Jesus. So that my name, after I am baptized, is Brother Fry Christian. Brother Sims Christian. Sister Justice Christian. So you see, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. One family in Christ. And it is a wonderful family to belong to, isn't it? But there's one thing, friends. When we get into that family, I think we ought to be very jealous in defending that family name, don't you? Instead of going around knocking and picking at other brothers and sisters, I think we ought to stand by each other. They say you can tell who brothers are. You pick on a little fella, and his big brother will come along and defend him. I think we ought to stand by each other. Let's stand loyal and true to that family name. What do you say? Number five, an individual that's born again has a new tongue. In James 3, the Apostle James waxes almost eloquent. He says, the tongue is a fire of... It is a fire and a world of iniquity. It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Now that is strong language. He goes on to say, you can tame all sorts of beasts. You can tame an elephant. You can tame a whale. And he goes on to say, they have tamed all sorts of creatures known. But then he says, who can tame the tongue? No lashing out in anger and letting the tongue rule the roost. Did you know that more people have been turned away from Christ by the angry words and actions of an unruly tongue and temper? More people. And I want to tell you, here's how it works. The devil lines something up to get you to lose your temper and get you to fly out and cut loose. And then he sends along somebody who is not a Christian or who may even be thinking about joining your church. And then he hears what you have to say. The devil is a mastermind at setting people up. The book of Revelation tells us something about people who are gathered home to heaven. It says, in their mouth was found no guile or deceit. Revelation 14, verse 5. God is not going to have spiritual cannibals in heaven devouring each other. A person that's born again must have a new tongue. No cursing, no criticizing, but praising God and speaking good about his neighbor. His temper will be sanctified and under the control of the Holy Spirit. Number six, a person that is born again has a new appetite. It's wonderful how God can take away that old appetite. I cannot see people who how they can take into their body those things that are they know are defiling and destroying their health. One of the hardest things to teach our people, it seems, is a health message. I just want to tell you, about 40% of our people really follow the health message. How sad that is when we are living in the last days and we need to have minds so clear so that we can understand God's Word in its fullness. I saw a man a few days ago who looked as if he had a walnut in his cheek. And every sentence he spoke, he had to spit out tobacco juice. Friends, God did not make man like that. The devil did. God made man so he could walk around and enjoy life, not stagger around like a madman. A drunk man is practically insane. Isn't it awful for a man to be a prisoner to a vile thing like alcohol? A man that's born again has a new appetite. A person that's born again can drink water and enjoy it. And we don't drink enough water. He doesn't drink the poison of alcohol to be able to get enjoyment. God delivers us from those soul-destroying habits and health-destroying ties. He converts a person and makes them free. A person that's born again is not going around eating the food God has said is unclean and unhealthy, because his body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Number seven, a person that's born again has new friends. The old friends leave them. Why? They don't feel comfortable around you anymore. I'll tell you, if your friends leave you because of your faith in Jesus Christ and the Advent faith, they're not very good friends. It's a wonderful thing to be able to trade those old friends of the world and find new friends that really love you and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful God gives us new friends, aren't you? Real friends, honest friends that'll stand by us in the hour of trial and the hour of trouble. Number 8. A person that's born again has new ambitions. They're not thinking only in terms of gold and silver. They think in terms of, what can I do for others? What good can I do? Whom can I help? Friends, there's a lot of difference in a person's living when he thinks in terms of others all the time instead of himself. A person that's born again is not selfish. He wants to help others. He will give of his time. He will give of his money. He will give of his energy. He will give of his talents. His ambition is to help others. He wants to go to heaven. And he wants others to go with him. He is willing to do anything to help others to find a happier and better way of life. Number 9. A person that's born again has a new allegiance. For the Bible says that you cannot serve two masters. Matthew 6:24. That's what Jesus says. He will either love the one and hate the other, because you cannot serve two masters. So a person that's born again comes out under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will stand by Jesus through thick and thin. He is not ashamed of what the world may say or what the world may think of him. He is ever loyal and true to his baptismal vows. Yes. Do you remember what they are? His baptismal vows and his Heavenly Father. He does whatever Jesus tells him to do. And next Sabbath, we're going to have a baptism, and we're going to all have an opportunity to review our baptismal vows as Christy has read her baptismal vows in the church. Now, let me briefly summarize these 9 points. A born-again Christian will, number 1, have a new heart and a new spirit. Number 2, they will be standing on the victory side. They may lose a few battles now and then, but they will win the war. Number 3, they will be on a new road, the narrow road. They will not be following the crowd down the wide road, down the Broadway, but they will be on the narrow road, the road where all the signposts are marked in red, printed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 4, they will have a new name, Christian. Not pseudo-Christian, but real Christian. Number 5, they will have a new tongue. No more lashing out with a tongue. No more the tongue ruling, but a new tongue, praising God and giving glory to Him. Number 6, we have a new appetite. The food that we used to love, the soul-destroying food, the health-destroying food, we will no longer use. But we will eat the foods that will help us to be strong and healthy, so that our minds can be clear and we can understand God's Word as we move forward into the end time. Number 7, we will have new friends. Those old friends who led us into sin, who took us into the world, who are worldly, will leave us. We will have new friends. Friends who will help us in our Christian pathway, who will encourage us along life's road, who will lift us up towards Jesus. Number 8, we will have new ambitions. Our ambition now will be to testify and witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our ambition will be to tell others of His love and His mercy and how Jesus died for us. Number 9, we will now have a new allegiance. No longer will we be the servant of Satan, but we will have a new master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our allegiance will be to Him and no longer to the enemy of souls. My friends, we must come out before the world and let them know which side we are on. We should fight the good fight of faith for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do not be ashamed of Jesus, brothers and sisters, but come out before the world and make it clear that you're going to go all the way with the Lord Jesus Christ, to leave the world behind, for except a person be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. Dear loving, merciful Father in heaven, there are many more points we could bring out about the new life in Christ. But dear Lord, the most important thing we want to see is a wonderful, wonderful loveliness of our Lord and Savior Jesus and what He has done to save us from sin, to save us and to pay the ransom for our salvation, to enable us to be with Him forever in heaven, where there never be any more sin, there never be any more pain, no more suffering, no more cancer, no more of the health-destroying things, no more of the things that destroy our spirituality, no more of the worldliness, dear Lord, but all will be wonderful and glorious, and we will be with our Lord and Savior Jesus, never, ever more to part. Dear Lord, please help each one of us here today to make that decision in our hearts that we are not going to allow the enemy anymore to distract our minds from serving the Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to lay all on the altar for You and forgive us for the times we have failed You in the past and the battles we have lost. Help us to win the war always on the Lord's side. Thank You ever so much for answering our prayer, because Jesus paid a terrific price for our salvation. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.